Hello and welcome to the Vermillion Sports Show. The Pelicans are in the playoffs. I was not sure if I would ever be saying that when we started this sports show, but here we are, guys.
Woo!
Justin's a little more excited than Charlie.
I gave a woo at the start.
Okay, I didn't hear. I'm sorry. Also, the Cajuns baseball team is at 500 for the first time this season.
It's good.
Maybe
it's good
not
time.
The first time this season. Don't fact check me on that. But they are at 500.
It's the first time
for the season. First time.
Yeah.
Yeah. They started. They start 1-2. All right. They seem to be stringing some victories together as well. So, you know, it took a long time to say that about that team. But
yeah,
it's happening. It is all happening. Welcome to the Vermillion Sports Show on KRBS 88.7 FM. I am your host, Louis Prejean, the sports editor for the Vermillion, the student newspaper of UL. I am here with sports writers Justin Vlasic.
Hola.
And Charles Long.
Good time for the Vermillion Sports Show right now.
It's great. A good time. Also, if the lighting is like a little weird, it's okay.
It's mood lighting.
It's okay. Charlie, you're back this week.
I am back this week.
Thank you for joining us in the studio. We were unable to live stream on Facebook last week, but that's okay. You're back.
All right.
We need your face.
Okay.
You are the face of this operation. I guess I'm just the voice, and Justin is...
I'm just here.
I'm the personality, I guess. All right, we just got back last night from the Pelicans game.
That was fun.
Oh, man, we had a lot of fun.
Vermillion Sports Great Show hits up the Smoothie King Center.
Make a movie the Vermillion Sports Show takes.
The Smoothie King Center. We got a Rajon.
Like a heist movie or something.
Our Rajon Rondo bobbleheads.
Oh, we got the Rajon Rondo bobbleheads.
Secured the package.
It's the only reason we went to that game. We are currently streaming the show on Facebook Live. And as always, I just want to say thank you to everyone that watches and supports and keeps it positive, because it is fun to do, and we're thankful for everyone that watches and stuff like that. So in case it's your first time listening, this is the Vermillion Sports Show, where we talk about Raging Cajuns athletics, as well as local and national sports like the New Orleans Pelicans and the New Orleans Saints, who we will get into the New Orleans Saints next week.
We'll get into the
New Orleans Pelicans.
We'll do free agency next week, and then we'll do the draft the week after.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
It's going to be fun.
Very good discussion there. So we have a good amount to get into this week. Let's get started with Raging Cajuns Athletics, starting with Cajuns baseball. Let's jump right into it, into our segment, a fan favorite segment. What do these numbers mean? Hot start with a segment here. We barely settled in, but keeping things fresh.
What do these numbers
mean? The Cajuns baseball team, they finally won a three-game series by taking 2 of 3 against UT Arlington with a 2-0 Game 1 win and a 4-2 Game 2 win. They lost 4-2 in 10 innings in Game 3. A lot of numbers, but they're simple numbers here. We're starting slow. Charlie, you're a baseball guy.
Right.
What do those numbers mean?
Thank God we finally did it. Like, mission accomplished. Like, this team spent so long to finally win a weekend series, but they did it. And I think that this is huge, like, mentally for them, you know? Like, they finally got over the hump. They finally won a three-game series against over the weekend. Granted, it's against UTA. They're not, you know, any kind of a world beater.
Right.
But, hey, you won a weekend series finally. You got something to build on. And they're playing well. They're playing well right now. They should have beaten Southern Miss both times they played them last week. They won a series against UT Arlington, and then they won their two games the past couple of days against in-state opponents, which, you know, as we've been saying the whole season, they're just continuing that trend. They're dominating the in-state opponents. I think their RPI has jumped like 30-something points within the last week, which is great. They need to start winning so they can get their RPI up so they can, you know, be qualifying for the playoffs when it comes to that time. But very, very good to see them win a weekend series for sure.
Right, and the Louisiana baseball team not only getting their first series win, they've won five of the last six games. I'll go to Justin. What does that number mean?
It means they're starting to prove me wrong, because last week I said we'd still be talking about their weekend series woes. Proved that one wrong. Now they're starting to get wins, so I think they're just like proving me wrong, really. But it's good to finally see them start to get wins. It means that they are a good team. We've been saying all year they're a good team. They just haven't got the weekend series. And so the fact that they're starting to get the wins they need, putting them over the 500, that huge confidence booster, like Charlie was saying.
Absolutely.
So it's like they're in the right direction. The on the right path here.
Right, five of their last six games, victories. Damn, Cajun baseball team.
Six of the last seven. That Southern Miss game still has me annoyed.
That Southern Miss game.
Yeah, great wins though. I'll say this: Colton Schmidt, the last 2 weeks he's won Sun Belt Pitcher of the Week. He's been dominant. He had another really great performance against UT Arlington, where he pitched eight innings, didn't give up a single run. And then Logan Stolke picked up, I think, his eighth save of the season at that point. He's been playing great. Every time he goes on the mound, I expect us to win. So that's really nice to have a pitcher like that.
Yeah, that high praise right there.
Oh, he's been great. Yeah. He's done nothing to, dissuade me from giving him that praise.
Okay, the Cajuns baseball team... You kind of mentioned the midweek games, in-state opponents. The Cajuns baseball team, they are 8-2 in midweek games, but when you combine their three-game series record, it is 8-13. I did not count the Shriners College Classic. So just look at the 8-2 in midweek, 8-13 in three-game series.
Yeah.
What do those numbers mean?
The Shriners Classic was against three different teams, so I can understand
why you didn't count that.
And those are three SEC teams, so 1-2 in that stretch is, It's decent. You kind of expected at least maybe pick up one game, and you'd be lucky, and we did. So that was nice. But as you were saying, we've lost a lot of weekend series this season so far. We kind of dug ourselves a hole in the conference. But, hey, if we can start to turn around, we're going streaking right now. Like, five out of the last six is nice. Could be six out of the last seven. And, if they start winning a couple more games, start stringing together some more in a row, get above the 500 mark, start to build their season back up, get back to respectability, right? That's like the one thing they need to do. And at 500, they're kind of getting there, but they just got to keep winning. And they're doing a good job. Like, the pitching has been good for the most part, but, against McNeese, they weren't good. And we still pulled out a win. So we need games like that where even if the pitching doesn't show up, we still need to, find ways to get those wins. So I've been very impressed with them recently.
It seems like they are starting to find
ways. We said last week that this was a big opportunity for them, and they're taking it. Yeah. They're like the five games they've played since the last show we had, they've won four of them. So that's great to see.
And we're saying it's a bounce back week. Would you say they bounce back?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
All right, and that will conclude. What do these numbers mean? I felt like three was enough there.
Yeah, that's fine.
I feel like three
sufficient
was
amount
enough
of numbers
for this three. What is three on what is I mean? Oh,
what is the three?
It's getting
what
too meta. It's getting too meta there. All right, I want to move on to the Cajuns' upcoming road series against Appalachian State. Appalachian State, they are 8-23 for this season. They have now lost their last four games. Charlie, what can we expect from this series against Appalachian State?
Let's get a sweep. Let's get a season series sweep. I would love to see that. A team that's going in the wrong direction versus a team that's going in the right direction, App State's not a good opponent. If we lose two of these games, it's going to kill our RPI. Because with college baseball, the RPI works with opponents that you play. And the Cajuns, the reason their RPI is so high, even though they're 500, is because they've played a really tough schedule, right? They played LSU. They played three SEC teams with Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Vanderbilt. They played Texas, who has a good team. They played South Alabama, who's got a good team. They played some really tough opponents early season. So now that they've survived the early season, and they're 17-17 right now, they need to start winning these series against teams that aren't as good, because if they lose those games, it's just going to hurt them in the long run. So I would love to see a sweep against App State, even if it's on the road.
I'll turn this one over to Justin. Will this be the Cajuns' first three-game series sweep?
I think it's very possible. We're definitely going to win. I'll say right now we're definitely going to win.
I think we'll win it too.
Now, I feel like this Cajuns team has struggled to get the three wins in a row. We struggled. We just got our first weekend series win this past week.
Right.
I don't know if this is just me being pessimistic or whatever, but I feel like I don't think we'll sweep it, but we'll definitely get the win.
Okay.
2-1 is 2-1 works as well. We just you're finally trying to get over the 500 mark. You can't lose this series, especially against a team like App State.
Totally,
they're
agree.
Not that good.
Are you in that frame of mind where it's one thing getting to 500 after you've been under 500, and it's just hard to get over the hump? Or do you see, the Cajuns team getting over that hump?
I feel like the way they're playing right now, they're trying to get over the hump. And now that they have that opportunity, especially against this App State team, which we've already said lost four in a row, 8-23 on the season, they can get over this hump, and then that would be huge for confidence booster. They haven't been above 500 all season. They've been playing a lot of tough opponents and losing a lot of games. But I think that this is a real opportunity for them to get some confidence back.
Okay.
For this young team, especially.
I need something on record.
What's sweep? That? Yeah, I'll go sweep over App State.
Sweep. Okay. Justin?
2-1.
2-1. Okay.
So, you see, it's they were under 500 for so long, it's hard for me to believe that a team will all of a sudden get a sweep. Even if App State is that good, you can't play down to opponents.
I just think the reason they were under 500 was the opponents they've played early season have been just stout.
It's very possible for them to get a sweep. I just think it doesn't happen.
Right.
All right. There we go. I just need something concrete.
That's why I'm here. Spicy takes.
That's where you're there, Justin. And Justin, you recently wrote about the Cajun softball team this week for the Vermillion about their weekend matchup against Georgia State. Mm-hmm. Louisiana traveled to Atlanta on April 7th and 8th and earned a weekend series win against the Georgia State Panthers. The three-game series was highlighted by the Raging Cajuns winning scores of 8-4, 12-1, and a close 7-6 loss in Game 3. I just want to see, what did you see out of this team over the weekend?
Well, game one, the highlight of it was the pitching, by far.
Mm-hmm.
Game two was dominated by hits. Like, the Cajuns went off in the second game hitting-wise.
12 runs, that's a lot.
It was a lot. And then the third game, it was just... No, back to the first game real quick. The pitching, 7 strikeouts by Summer Ellison in the first game.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
She threw a no-hitter earlier in the season.
Right. And then second game, strong hitting performance, 15 hits in game two. Kara Gramillion, I think is how you say that.
Okay.
She led it with a perfect 4-for-4 in bat, which is really hard to do. Lexi Como, who's a junior, finished 3-4 with 3 runs scoring hits, ultimately led her to her 6 RBIs in that game.
Wow.
So sophomore.
6 RBIs.
That's crazy, wild. Isn't it?
Oh my.
That's half the runs scored.
Half of the runs. And then sophomore Alyssa Dalton went 3-for-5 with 3 runs and an RBI. She leads the team in multiple hit games, as she notched her 13th in game 2 of the series.
Wow.
So she also extended her hitting streak to 7 straight games with a hit.
And in game 3, nice. I mean, what happened there?
They just couldn't get it done. I mean, it went into extra innings.
Yeah.
It was a close game. They didn't get blown out or anything. It was just a couple fielding mistakes. It wasn't there for them.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Justin, but I think in game 3, they actually took the lead in extra innings, but then they gave
it
up in the bottom half of that inning.
They
won it on a walk-off, or Georgia Southern did. Georgia State, my bad.
State. Yeah.
Won it on a walk-off after we had retaken the lead.
It was 5-5 for a while, then we went up. It was 6-5, and then they scored the 2, making it 7-6 just at the bottom of that inning.
That's disappointing.
It's kind of tough, man, after scoring 12 runs and having that kind of hitting performance. I mean, they didn't come back and struggle. It's just a tough one, you know. Just a tough one in game 3.
Very close to a sweep.
Louisiana's record on the season is now 26-10 after a good performance by beating Southeastern Louisiana 13-2 in 6 innings. So, Justin, does that really tell you anything about this team's ability to bounce back? It's bounce back week.
It is bounce back. They bounce back strong. They've only lost back-to-back games twice against Florida and Florida State. And those are two good teams.
Yeah.
And the fact that that's the only 2 back-to-back games they've lost is great. This is a really good team, and they're a solid week in and week out bounce back week coming off the losses. With the theme.
It's okay. Stick with the theme of bounce back. It's bounce back week.
Yeah.
And you'll see that with the Pelicans when we talk about them later on, that it was bounce back week for them. Next up for the softball team is a 3-game home series against Texas State on April 14th and 15th. Texas State is 30-8 for the season. Might be a tough matchup there.
They're 24th in the nation right now, I saw.
Okay.
Which, you know, even though they're from the Sun Belt and they're not like a big name school, you can tell they're a really solid team, especially by their record.
Right.
30-8.
Yeah.
It'll be tough.
30-8, but, you know,
we can get
26-10. Battle of the Titans right there. Let's go to other Cajuns updates. After finishing their historic season, members of the Louisiana basketball team received awards from the Louisiana Sports Writers Association on April 7th. I mean, we covered the basketball team. They had a great,
fantastic
season.
Great season. Historic. Senior guard Frank Barley, 1 year after receiving Sun Belt Conference Newcomer of the Year, was named Player of the Year for averaging 17.8 points, 4.3 rebounds, and 2.6 assists per game. Barley became the 6th player in school history to earn Player of the Year, joining the likes of Dwight Lamar, Andrew Toney. Andrew Toney.
Yeah.
I think he played with Charles Barkley. And I might have to
For the Suns?
Yeah, because I think my dad was the one telling me, I don't know, someone correct me, but Andrew Toney. Leading researcher, Charlie, tell me, Charles Barkley said Andrew Toney is the best guard he's ever played with.
Wow.
That's what Charles Barkley said. That's what my dad told me. But look that up. We'll get to it. And we'll go to the other recipients of the Player of the Year. Yeah, with Charles Barkley.
Was Andrew Toney the one that always beat Boston? And like they call him like the Boston Killer or something like that?
No idea.
I think my dad was also telling me about
that. Get that leading researcher on right there. Other recipients of the Player of the Year from
Boston Strangler.
Louisiana.
That's what they call him, the
Allen,
Boston Strangler.
Tyron Johnson and Elfrid Payton, the guard. Recent. Frank Barley was also named to the first team. Other Louisiana players honored were Fords, Bryce Washington, and Jakeenan Gant. Washington was named to the second team with averages of 10.4 points and 10.5 rebounds. Very on brand for Bryce Washington to average more rebounds than points. Very on brand.
It was only by 0.1, but
I got the Andrew Toney information. Okay. He was the Boston Strangler, and in the that was his nickname because in the 1982 Eastern Conference Finals, he played for the Sixers, and he dropped like 30 points like three different times in that one series against Boston.
Andrew Toney, man. Shout out to Andrew Toney.
Cadence
if
legend.
He's listening, shout out to Andrew Toney.
Shout out to Andrew Toney. All right, Jakeenan Gant, after averaging 13.7 points, 5.8 rebounds, and 2.3 blocks per game, was named to the third team. The junior forward was earlier named Sun Belt Conference newcomer and Defensive Player of the Year on March 5th. Just a shame he wasn't 100%.
Third teamer. If he's the Defensive Player of the Year and he's averaging those points, I don't
Charlie
know.
Has a little bit of.
I got gross with that. I think he should have at least been second team in the Sun Belt.
But that's okay.
It's all right.
But that's okay. Head coach Bob Marlin became the first Raging Cajuns coach to be a two-time recipient of the Louisiana Sports Writers Association Coach of the Year Award. Marlin won the award for the first time in 2014. Marlin is also the fifth Raging Cajuns head coach to receive the award after leading his team to a school record 27 wins. Great season, man.
Yeah, it was so fun to cover, too.
It really was. It was a lot of fun.
Great season. Other Cajuns updates, Charlie.
Yeah, I got the golf team up and down Saturday for the Louisiana Raging Cajuns golf team at the Southern Collegiate Match Play on April 7th. Coming off a first-place performance at the Lake Charles Invitational on March 26th to 27th, the team split their two matches this past weekend. Individual golfers went head-to-head as Louisiana suffered a 3-2 loss to the University of South Alabama. Jack Tolson defeated South Alabama's Peter Stalbo, while Tristan Elton earned the second win for the Raging Cajuns against Brooks Rabrin. The team competed in a consolations match following their semifinals loss to South Alabama, where they defeated Louisiana Tech 3-2. Tolson earned his second victory of the day, this time against Louisiana Tech's Frederick Hayden 4-3. Freshman Peter Hinnett won 3-2 over Max Kettler. Elston secured the Raging Cajuns consolations match victory by defeating Karsten Green.
There we go.
Up next for the Cajuns golf team is Old Waverly College Championship on April 16th to 17th.
I've got sad news, boys.
Sad news?
Sad news.
What is it?
Both the Louisiana men's and women's tennis teams saw their winning streaks come to an end this weekend.
No!
April 6th and 7th.
In bounce back week?
In bounce back week. This was opposite the trend.
Opposite.
They bounced back to
what happened there?
The wrong way.
So the men's tennis team entered their match against number 61 Georgia State University, riding a 7-match winning streak. They lost 4-3 in Atlanta on April 6th. Team managed to earn 3 wins in single competition, but Georgia State swept in doubles play. Next up for the Louisiana men's team is the Sun Belt Conference Tournament in Peachtree City, Georgia on April 19th through the 22nd. And then as for the women's team, their 3-match winning streak was snapped with a 4-3 loss to Arkansas State University on April 6th. The Louisiana team of Kelly Drew and Marina Rodriguez-Garcia achieved the lone doubles match victory for the Raging Cajuns. The Raging Cajuns women's tennis team failed to bounce back after their loss to Arkansas State with a 4-1 loss to the University of Texas at Arlington on April 7th. They'll play at Tulane University on April 13th.
On bounce back week.
On bounce back week.
On bounce back week on the Vermillion Sports Show, KRVS 88.7 FM. Do not forget the Raging Cajuns water ski 2018 Fleur de Ski. Great name.
That's a great name.
That's great.
The Raging Cajuns Water Ski 2018 Fleur de Ski is happening on April 14th and 15th, this Saturday and Sunday, at the Airport Lake in Lafayette. Also, get ready because the Raging Cajuns Vermilion and White Spring Game is coming up soon. Sooner than we expect, I guess, because it's happening on April 21st at 12:30 p.m.
It's next
week. At Cajun Field. Just a reminder, that's next week.
Yeah. Wow.
Just an early reminder so everyone can get their...
Not this upcoming Saturday, but the next Saturday.
Everyone can get their plans in check there. But just a couple reminders and all your Raging Cajuns updates right there. And that will do it for the Raging Cajuns portion of our show. Now we will move into New Orleans Pelicans and the NBA playoffs for the rest of our time. There's a lot to talk about regarding the NBA playoffs and New Orleans Pelicans, how they fit into that into that context of the NBA playoffs. There's so much to be talked about, and that will conclude the Raging Cajuns portion of our show and the Facebook Live. So thank you for everyone that joined us. We all appreciate it.
Oh, so, absolutely.
Goodbye, everyone. That will do it for Facebook Live. All right. It's about to make a noise. I don't know if y'all can hear that. Thank you to everyone that listens on KRVS as well. Can't forget the radio listener.
You can't.
And this is where we give our basketball.
Oh, man, the basketball. Here we go.
This is where the spicy takes come in.
Oh, no, the basketball section was what we've been kind of waiting on, man. Because the New Orleans Pelicans, they've made the playoffs.
Woohoo!
They made the playoffs. I'm crying. Finishing up the season at 48-34 and on a 5-game winning streak.
Bounce back week.
It's bounce back week.
It is.
They lost 4 in a row before that?
Mm-hmm.
Then end the season on a 5-game winning streak, which is currently the longest winning streak by any team in the Western Conference.
Wow.
Interesting there. I don't know. I don't want to say they're the hottest team, but I'm also kind of saying they're the hottest team.
Who picked them to go 4-0?
Wait.
Well,
who picked?
Who was that? It was, I believe that was Charlie.
Who was that? Oh, yeah. I picked them to go 4-0, and they beat the Suns, they beat the Clippers, they beat the Spurs, and they beat the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
What a stretch.
I said 3-1.
What a stretch. Well,
Charlie was the only one to say 4-0.
I believed in my Pelicans.
You were the one.
I believed in my Pelicans.
So the Pelicans beat the Suns, they beat the Warriors.
Crushed the Clippers and the Spurs.
The Clippers and Spurs. I just want to get – let's start with – your head's big enough, Charlie. Let's start with Justin. Your reaction to this week's games?
Insane. It was. I had said 3-1. I thought the Clippers would have something to play for. I thought we would have lost that game, and then half their team was hurt, and we picked up the win. I was like, "This is looking good." You know, we went to that Spurs game. It was crazy. Won by like 20 points, and I was just shocked that they actually went 4-0 when it counted. And it was. We needed it. We really did.
Shocked, man.
Yeah.
I'm shocked. All right, Charlie, your reaction.
My head's a balloon right now. I'm hyped. I'm really excited. I'm so happy for the Pelicans right now. I think that the way they played after DeMarcus Cousins went down, they weren't just going to, like, lay down after that. They wanted to keep trying and making the playoffs and try and get a quality first-round opponent. And honestly, I think the opponent that we got with Portland is the best-case scenario. I think that they're the team that we match up the best against. So I'm really excited that we're playing them first round. But the 4-0 stretch to end the season was great. The Warriors game was super tight. Came to a couple shots late and a couple really great defensive plays late as well. Rondo, Drew, and AD all had great defensive plays at the end of that game that really helped us seal it and, you know, keep us on the road. The Clippers game was a blowout, as we know. Yeah. And then we saw the Spurs game last night. I think Popovich set, like, his stars for, like, the second half. So we started off well, obviously, and we, you know, kept it up. We never took our foot off the gas pedal, which was great.
I can't. That Warriors win was so big.
It was huge.
Yeah. I can't, like, I still can't wrap my head around that.
The last time we had beat Golden State before the win this year was literally 3 years to the day.
10 April consecutive 7th, losses.
April 7th, 2015 was the last time we had beaten them. And then we beat them April 7th, 2018.
Because it just turned out it was a must-win game. Because every other Western Conference team won.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, kept winning. So I don't know where the Pelicans
earned it. The Pelicans earned their spot in the playoffs. They didn't just – then the other teams in the West didn't give it to them. They had to earn it, and they did. If they had lost a few of these games, it'd be a much worse position right now.
Well, if they went 2-2 like I predicted, they'd be out.
Exactly. So, you know, when they needed to win, when they needed to go on this win streak the most, after losing a couple of disappointing games against the Cavaliers, against the Trailblazers, you know, they came back and they went on a 5-game winning streak, and now they're at the 6th seed.
And as big as your head is, Charlie, I just have to admit that I was wrong.
You were right.
I was wrong. I said 2-2, and I was wrong, so I just wanted to admit that. I was looking a little pessimistic
there.
That's
big of you, Lou.
Man, good job. How humble of you, huh?
That's big
to admit that you're wrong. All right, survey time. Woo-hoo! Let's get to it, man. Survey time. Segment 2. out of only
that's
two.
That's like the third woo-woo counter.
We need a woo-woo counter over here.
A woo-woo counter. All right, survey time. Segment two out of only two.
Oh.
I don't know if I'm going to start thinking of different segments. I don't know if two's enough.
What do these numbers mean?
We have what do these numbers mean, and we have survey time. We'll get music. We'll get music for that.
I feel like we need the John Cena theme song.
John
Cena. Jeez.
Segment two out of two, survey time. The Pelicans will play the Portland Trailblazers in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Portland has the 3 seed, and the Pelicans, somehow, I know how, but the Pelicans are at the 6 seed.
Mm.
Let's get to survey time. What is the most important key in this matchup against Portland? Is it stopping Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum? Is it letting the others try to beat you? Let CJ and Dame get theirs. Or is it Anthony Davis? The play of the Pels' small big three, the play of Mirotic and Drew Holiday? Or is it coaching? I'll go to Charlie for this one.
I'll say the big three for the Pelicans. I think one of the huge reasons we've won, you know, 5 in a row is the play of Mirotic. Last week I said that he would average 23 in the final 4 games. I think he averaged 27 something close to that. So I felt like I was giving him a big number to hit, and he ended up busting the roof. So he's been playing outstanding. Holiday had a good game against the Spurs. And AD didn't even have a good game against the Spurs by, you know, the standards that we expect him to live up to. But because Mirotic and Holiday had such good games, and so did Rondo, but because those two had such good games, we were able to get out to an early lead and win that game. So I think that throughout this series, those three are going to need to be big for us. The play of our new big three with Boogie out, Mirotic, Holiday, and AD, I think they're going to be the reason that we win or lose the series.
Out of those options, Justin?
I'm going to say A, stopping Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. We like Charlie was saying, we match up well with this Trailblazers team. So if we can stop those two, we can win easily.
I don't think there's anyone in the NBA that can necessarily stop them. We just have to try and slow
them down. Just
slow them down. Like, if we can keep Lillard to about 20 a game in this series, I love our chances.
Oh, absolutely.
We just can't let them go off for like 30.
We need Rondo and Drew to lock up like they have been on defense. And just, we need to slow them down, because if they're hot, then the team is hot.
Right.
So if we slow them down, our chances go up a lot.
And you also have to think about one of these guys, they'll get switched on to either Anthony Davis or Mirotic in a pick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
If that were to happen, Mirotic definitely can't keep up with the guard.
No.
So maybe the Pelicans might have to go smaller than Mirotic.
I think Mirotic is a perfect small ball forward.
I don't on offense, but I don't think on defense. If he gets switched on.
I mean, I don't know. I think they'll have to try and play around that. The way they played defense on Aldridge against the Spurs was outstanding. They kept finding great doubles for him. And I think if they can try and find traps and doubles on Lillard and McCollum, I think they'll be looking great.
So Drew Holiday and Rajon Rondo.
Need to lock up.
But they have been.
They've
been playing
defense. They've definitely proven it these past 4 games. So I know it's possible for them to do that. And that's the key to winning the series.
I'm surprised no one said Anthony Davis.
Well, he's always on.
Yeah.
He is always on.
But most important key is stopping Damian Lillard and CJ for you.
Yes.
And the play of kind of Mirotic and Drew Holiday.
I think so. I think because I think Anthony Davis is just going to, you know, there's no one on Portland that can necessarily guard Anthony Davis. So I think he's going to be fine in this series. I think he's going to get his. It's just a matter of the other, you know, role players around, you know, stuffing the stat sheet and having big games.
And in the second option, CJ and Dame, just let them get their points. That's not the way to go.
No.
Not the way to go?
Because if they're getting their points, then it means other people are getting their points too. Plus, those two combined can put up enough points. Like, we saw Damian Lillard drop 40-something on us last time we played them, so
right.
We know it's possible. And that was it with CJ McCollum having a bad game. So if they're both hot, they could probably get 100 themselves.
In the 2014-15 postseason, AD averaged 31.5 points to go along with 11 rebounds per game against the Warriors, where he was going against Draymond Green, you know, a lot of the time. And Draymond Green's an excellent defender. So you got to think Yusuf Nurkic, I don't think he can really do anything. I think AD is going to put up big numbers in the series.
Okay, so, I mean, I was just entertaining. The last one I want to entertain is coaching, and I understand why no one picked this one because it's not high-profile coaches in this one.
I mean, Terry Stotts is doing a great job in Portland.
He's a good coach.
He's got them in the playoffs for five straight times, you know, for the fifth straight season. So he's doing great things there. But, I mean, Gentry has done a good job of motivating the team after Cousins went down. And they've still seem to be playing for something, which is, you know, what you really like to see.
Right.
So,
I just wanted to throw the coaching out there because I have been critical of Alvin Gentry.
He's as great. Have I.
Good old Alvin.
You like Alvin Gentry?
Yeah.
I mean, we all have – you know, we're all critics, you know. But we can all give some credit, right?
Oh, yeah.
Keeping it afloat.
Right.
And even more than that, keeping it afloat, you know, getting into the playoffs.
Right.
That says something right there. So let's go to the other survey time question. Who will lead the series in scoring? There's only two options here. Damian Lillard or Anthony Davis? Justin.
I'm going to say Anthony Davis. I know the more... this is a tough question because both of them are points machines. But I think Anthony Davis, he's got a more versatile shot than Damian Lillard does. And I feel like that'll help in the points category there.
Charlie?
I think it's actually going to be really close, but I'll give the nod to AD. I think watching Lillard in the fourth quarter, there's no one like him. Like, he will pull up and take 10 shots and make at least 8 of them from, like, anywhere on the floor. He just doesn't miss in the fourth quarter. But you got to think, you got to look at the matchups. Lillard, Drew Holiday's probably going to be on Lillard in fourth quarters and in big moments as well. And for most of the games, honestly. While on the other side, the Blazers really don't have a solid defensive big man that can really, you know, stay with AD or stay on AD. The closest thing they got is Nurkic, and he's young, but he's more of an offensive big man than anything. So I think that AD is going to really have a big series. And I think that Lillard is going to have a few big games, but I feel like Drew Holiday, he deserves some kind of a all-defensive nod. He's been outstanding on defense this season.
I think he'll get a first or second-team all-defense.
Okay. I think so as well.
He's getting more recognition.
So having him on Lillard when it counts is going to be big for us.
I agree. I think Anthony Davis will lead in scoring just because of the matchup.
Right.
And that's what the playoffs are all about. It's about matchup.
Absolutely.
So Anthony Davis has a better matchup than Damian Lillard has with – Drew Holiday and Rajon Rondo going up against him. All right, the third survey time question. How many games do you think the series will go? I just want the number, not the winner. We'll save the prediction.
Okay.
I'll start with Charlie this time. Is it 4? Is it 5? Is it 6? Or is it 7?
I think this is actually one of the more enticing series of the first round. I think it's a great matchup both ways. There are a lot of really good players in this series. I'll say it'll go 6.
Six games?
6 games.
Justin?
I agree that it is an enticing series, but I think if we're feeling it, and I think we will be, I'm going to say we could do it in 4, actually.
It's Justin.
No, I'm joking. It'd probably be 5. Probably be 5.
No. I'm okay with the prediction, man.
No. I said
save
5.
The prediction, man. We got to build the intensity.
Well,
you spoiled it.
It's okay.
So you have the Pelicans sweeping?
I'm going to go 5.
Okay.
Five.
I think they'll still game 1 or 2.
Yeah.
All right, 3 is good enough for survey time, though.
Yeah.
3 is good enough. I'm setting the bar at 3 for the segments because, you know, they can get, you know, extended. So 3 is good enough for survey time. And with the Pelicans making the playoffs, this means one thing and one thing only. We get to see playoff Rondo.
Woohoo!
Woo counter.
It's like 4 to 4
counter. Where are we at on that? All right, so playoff Rondo, man, what do you think Rondo's impact will be in this series, Justin? Who is that going to?
It's going to be huge. We need Rondo. When he's playing really well, we're a good team. We're a much better team. Rondo is an assist master. He lobs it up, and AD comes out of nowhere seemingly to get it. So we need that. We need Rondo getting his assists, moving the ball around. And he can lock up on defense, too. So I think it'll be huge. His impact, we're going to need him a lot.
I agree. I think that with Rondo, I feel like as long as he does what he's been doing the past few weeks, like, he's already kind of in that form where he's getting double-doubles. He's right. dishing out great assists, and he's playing solid defense. If he's playing like he's been playing the last few games, I think it's going to be a good series anyways, but that just adds another factor to it.
I was
going
to say, we've been seeing like playoff Rondo right now. We're seeing his impact.
Exactly.
And it's been fantastic. I mean, the strip against Durant, his game last night against
the Spurs, that was San Antonio
impressive.
Almost went on a run, I think, late in the third quarter. But then Rondo just went on like his own like
the door
seven or nine to nothing run by himself, which is ridiculous.
He had a couple of like sweeping layups and then a couple of bank shots, and then the shot clock running down, he just stepped back and took the jump shot and made it.
Yeah, called his own number. Like,
we're seeing playoff Rondo.
We're seeing
now.
Him. This is it. This is playoff Rondo that you're seeing right now, and it's just he's going to be important because you saw what he did with the Bulls against the Celtics last year. And the Bulls were going to upset the Celtics if Rondo didn't go down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to happen. And Rondo's a winner. Like, that's just what he this is what he does. He prepares his team to win.
That Bulls team had a stud with Jimmy Butler, and the Pelicans team has their stud with Anthony Davis. So I think that Rondo entered a good situation. You know, he's probably going to be starting throughout the playoffs. And if we give him a good, you know, 25 to 30 minutes a game, I think we'll see a lot of offensive production. I think he's like the Rondo effect. Our assist numbers are through the roof right now. So hopefully we see that in the playoffs as well.
All right. We've discussed kind of the series. Are there any other things that we may have missed that you will be looking out for in this matchup?
I'd say the one thing about this Pelicans team is they play really well together. You don't see too many players that don't look like they want to be here. And I think that's important because – we talk about playoffs or about matchups and stuff, but also in a way it's about how the chemistry of the team is. Because if you're a team that doesn't really get along or you don't know how to share the ball well, that you can't get these assists, you can't get these points. I think that'll come up huge for both sides even. I think Portland plays really well together as well.
I think Portland, when you're talking about the chemistry, because the Pelicans, I believe, they're third in team assists per game.
Yeah.
So, and Portland just... they can be selfish at times. They can be too isolation at times with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. They don't have necessarily the ball movement.
Right.
When you're talking in terms of ball movement, I don't think the Portland Trailblazers have that level of ball movement that the Pelicans have. So maybe ball movement, chemistry is something that you should look out for in this match.
They got two great scoring guards, but they're not necessarily assist, you know,
right.
guards.
Is there anything else you're looking out for in this
yeah,
match?
Yeah, there are two players I'm looking at. Portland's going to hit a lot of threes in this series. I think we need to accept that immediately as, you know, people that have been
10 to 12
covering,
threes, that's what's
people
happen.
Have been covering the Pels for, you know, a few months. Portland is going to get their shots, and they're going to hit a lot of them. I think it's going to come down to some big shots by some shot makers that have played really, really solid this season. And two players that stand out to me that are going to be very big in this matchup, Etuan Moore and Nikola Mirotic. I think if Mirotic is playing like how he did in that four-game stretch without his beard, I think...
keep
I think,
shaving.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Jrue Holiday told him when he started to gain some of his beard back. He was just like, shave it off.
and we saw it last night. He was freshly shaven. Like, there was no hair on that face.
If they're hitting shots, I think we're going to be set. I think those are two real big spark plugs that whenever the offense is kind of, you know, lulling itself to sleep, if they hit a couple shots, then we'll be right back into it.
All right. Time for the prediction, because this series might still be going on next week when we do the show, but we need the prediction right now. We'll start with Justin. Do you have the series? Who wins? How many games?
Pels in five.
Charlie?
In both my brackets, I have the Pels in six.
Pels in six?
Actually, I have Pels in six in one and Pels in seven in the other. I think this is going to be a really tight series. I think it's going to be well fought. One thing to look out for, the Pelicans are one of the best teams on the road in the NBA. They've won, I think, 23 games on the road this season, which, you know, when you look at their record, you think it'd be a little bit better, but they did have some struggles at home early season. So I think that, you know,
the
Portland...
Pelicans are 7 games above 500 on the road.
So. Exactly. Portland's a really tough place to play, especially come playoff time. But if we can pick up an early win in Portland, like, in game one or game two or potentially game five, we're looking at a great opportunity for us to take this series.
I hope I'm wrong. Blazers in seven.
Ooh.
That's where I'm going.
I can see it. I'm going Blazers in seven.
That's where I'm going. Let's go to the rest of the NBA playoffs. And woo! More. Is it five?
Yeah, it's five.
We're at five. All right. Charlie has his bracket. Justin has his bracket ready for the NBA playoffs. The rest of the players are set. This is it. We have the schedules are all out. Justin with his makeshift fill-in bracket right there. Just
the markup on the picture.
I mean, I kind of like just drew mine out too. So
that's okay. But we have the brackets. I have a bunch of questions here, but we'll get to the brackets first. All right. We'll start. Justin, take us through your bracket. What are we seeing?
So, first matchup. We're going west and then east.
Go east, west.
Go east, then west. Okay. Yeah. So Raptors and Wizards. The Raptors taking it in five, actually.
Okay.
And then Cavaliers, Pacers. I have Cavs in six. That one I think is going to be a little longer. I'm excited for Lance and LeBron.
Of course.
76ers, Heat. I say 76ers take that in four. I think that's pretty easy. And then Celtics, Bucks. I have Boston taking that one in six as well.
Okay.
And then in the West, Rockets, Timberwolves. I have Timberwolves taking that in seven. Thunder, Jazz. I've got Thunder taking that in five. Pels, Blazers. I said already, Pels in five. And then I think Warriors, Spurs is going to be Warriors in four, even without Curry. And we saw the Spurs last night. They're having troubles.
Should we go first round, then your first round?
I have two brackets. I have
just
my
do your most realistic one.
I have a realistic one, and then I have my one that's kind of like out there. So I'll do the realistic one first. I have Toronto in six over Washington. I feel like that's there's some upset potential there because John Wall's back, and that's a great guard matchup with Wall and Beal versus Lowry and DeRozan. But I think Toronto's having a great season. I think they'll pick up that series. I have Cleveland in five over Indiana in my realistic one. LeBron doesn't lose in the first round. Indiana won the season series 3-1. But LeBron's won 12 straight, first round games.
It's a different
games.
Thing, playoff yeah, regular season.
Exactly. So, and Victor Oladipo's definitely the most improved player this year, but I just think that Cleveland's going to pick that one up in five. I have the 76ers in six. I actually really like the matchup. We get to see Hassan Whiteside versus Joel Embiid, which is always fun. But I think that they just have more better shooters, for one, and better scoring. And I like Goran Dragic, but I think that he's going to have a really bad matchup against Ben Simmons. So I say 76ers in six. And I got the Celtics beating the Bucks. A lot of people are saying the Bucks have upset potential there, but the way the Celtics have been playing without Kyrie and Hayward, and the way they've been playing without them for so long, I think that they're kind of like, they're ready for this challenge, and I don't think the Bucks have been playing well. So I'll say the Celtics in seven.
They're the same winners in the East.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, in the West, what do we got? Games?
So my realistic one, I have Houston in five. They swept the series against Minnesota. I get that Jimmy Butler's going to be back, but I just think that Houston's definitely on a mission this year. I have OKC over the Jazz in six. I think that series is actually going to be a little tighter than people expect. The Jazz have the potential to be really, really good. But then they also have games where they just, don't even show up like they did against Portland. The Pels I have in my realistic bracket in seven, actually, winning game seven. I think the home team is going to win every single game. And then game seven is going to come and the Pels are going to steal it in Portland. And then Golden State in five over the Spurs.
So that's your first round, East and West, right there?
And that's my realistic one.
That's your realistic
almost
one. What's the craziest one from your non-realistic? Just the craziest
one. OKC's the champion.
OKC's the champion? All right, okay. That would be crazy. Honestly, that would be crazy. Okay, so we have the first round there. Should we stick to first round? Because next week we'll be back.
I say we just go all the way.
Let's just go all the way. And then we'll.
All right, I just want you did a great job analyzing that. I think we have 15 minutes left. Justin, games? Winner. Right.
Rockets, Cavs in the East. I got Cavs taking it. 76ers, Celtics. I've got 76ers taking that one.
And how many?
Rockets, Cavs, I'm going to say five. And then 76ers, Boston, I'm going to say probably about six. It's going to be closer. Timberwolves, Thunder. I had the Thunder taking that one. I'm going to say five there. And Pels, Warriors. I think the Warriors take that. That one's probably going to go into seven. I think that we play the Warriors well, but it's going to be tough. You want me to just go all the way here? You want to do second round?
Second round.
I have Houston beating OKC in 7. I think that's going to be a really tight series. And then I have Golden State beating the Pels in 6. On our home court, that's going to be disappointing.
On home court.
I feel like they're going to win the first two home games. It's going to be 2-2. And then the Warriors are just going with the next two and win the series.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Toronto, I actually have beating Cleveland. I think they've played a great
season.
I think they've played a great season. I think, honestly, they're a really solid matchup for Cleveland. Like, they match up well against them. They don't really have anyone that can, you know, stay on DeRozan. But I think that Toronto will finally break through and make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I'll let you know how far they go after that. I have the 76ers beating the Celtics. I think the Celtics are going to win their first series, which is an accomplishment without Kyrie or Gordon Hayward. But I think the Sixers are on a roll right now. No one mm-hmm. wants to play them, and I think that they're going to beat the Celtics in 6.
Okay, so let's go to conference finals.
Conference finals.
Who's going to the finals? Justin, I wanted you to say why you have these teams going to the finals when you pick them.
Cavs 76ers? 76ers take it. I think the 76ers, like Charlie said, they're hot right now. And the Cavs are a good team. LeBron is phenomenal, but I think the 76ers, they're a young team, and they match up really well with a lot of people. And I think Joel Embiid versus LeBron is going to be really exciting. I know they're not going to be matched up with each other, but it's still going to be fun. And then I say that's going to go into 7. It's going to be really close, but 76ers take it. On the other side, I have Thunder Warriors. Another upset, I say Thunder take that one. In 6.
I like this.
Yeah. Because
I like this.
I think the Warriors, they struggle. I mean, they're a playoff team, don't get me wrong. Curry will be back, but I think the Thunder, they're another really hot team right now, and they could beat the Warriors.
All right, so let's go over to you, Charlie. What do you have?
Okay, so I feel like Houston and Golden State's kind of been like the matchup that everyone's expected.
Right.
For the conference finals in the West this season, and that's what I have in my realistic one. But I have Golden State winning it. I think that Chris Paul is going to finally make his first, you know, conference finals appearance, and then they're going to lose. So
one step at a time for Chris Paul, James Harden, and
baby steps. I think that Harden has had a great season, but he tends to disappear in the playoffs. And same thing with Chris Paul and Mike D'Antoni. But you look at the Warriors; they're proven winners. They've won plenty of championships with this team, and having Steph Curry back is going to be huge for them. Which is why I think they're going to make a run, and I think they're going to beat Golden State in 6. And then on the other side, I also have the 76ers making the finals.
Whoa.
Again, no one wants to play them right now. They're playing great basketball, even without their star player, with Joel Embiid. And with him back, I think that they're going to – I think the Toronto 76ers series is going to be really good. I also think it's going to go 6 games. I think the 76ers are going to win it on their home court. 76ers.
In the finals?
76ers and the Warriors in the finals in my realistic bracket.
All right, so who's in your finals in your...
Well, I can go through the out there bracket, like, step by step. Just kind of like...
No, I don't think we have time for that right now, but... Do we?
Yeah, we probably do.
No, we do have, like, 10 minutes.
I can just say, okay, my out there bracket, I have Minnesota beating Houston first round. OKC beating Utah.
Justin, that's what you had, right?
Yeah.
Minnesota? Yeah.
I have the Pels winning against Portland, Golden State beating the Spurs, Toronto, Cleveland, the 76ers and Celtics, and then I have Cleveland beating Toronto, 76ers beating the Celtics, Golden State beating the Pels, OKC beating Minnesota, OKC beats Golden State, 76ers beat Cleveland, OKC beats the 76ers in 7 in the finals.
How cool would Thunder versus the 76ers?
That's actually the finals I have.
Right. Thunder 76ers. Like how, okay, so let's get to the winners. Let's just get it all. Who wins the finals?
The 76ers take it all. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, they take it. It's going to
trust the process.
Trust the process.
I'm over here hunched over.
It's going to be a good game.
I didn't expect this much.
The 76ers are a hot team, and when you get that hot with the players they have, it's hard to beat them.
So 76ers are the NBA champions, or yes, Justin's sir. NBA champions.
Yes.
In my realistic bracket, I have Golden State winning it in 7.
Okay.
I think they'll repeat. I think, with Curry coming back, it's going to be a spark plug for them, exactly what they need to get back to their winning ways, because they have been slumping recently. But they really do get a great opportunity playing – San Antonio without Kawhi Leonard, and then potentially playing New Orleans without Boogie Cousins.
How cool would it be, though,
if they went out first
if Kawhi Leonard came back?
That would be just really like funny.
Shocking, like in the warm ups or whatever, in the lineup when they announce the lineup.
If Kawhi Leonard comes back in the first round, I think San Antonio beats them in the first round
because no one knows how you haven't played Kawhi all year. You know,
that'd be
if there's
so
anyone
awesome.
In the league that can lock Kevin Durant down, it's Kawhi Leonard. But you know, without that, I have Golden State beating the 76ers in the finals. Finally, it's going to be someone other than the Cavs out of the East. In my opinion, I think the 76ers have been playing great. But I think their run is going to come just short when they lose to Golden State.
No faith in the Cavs.
Lou, do you have the Heat going really far? You seem to like Miami.
No.
Shout out to March Madness. You're going to the Final Four.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, why'd you bring that up? No. Why'd you? Man. Now I'm depressed. Someone else host this. Someone else take this. Yeah, no, I think I had the 76ers sweeping.
Sixth.
Oh, sixth.
I had the 76ers sweeping the Heat. Even though the Heat can be good at times, but... I had the 76ers heating.
Take out the broom.
76ers sweeping the Heat. Take out the brooms, guys. Man, all right. So 76, some 76ers love.
Oh, yeah.
All right, what you got, Lou?
What do I have?
It's your turn.
Let me look at the bracket.
I got you. Hold on.
Let me look at the bracket.
A second.
Because I did this earlier. I don't have the bracket in front of me. Let's get it right now.
The last picture.
Last picture. I'm not going to scroll through your pictures. All right. So I have the Rockets in five over Minnesota. I have Oklahoma City in six against the Jazz. Portland, as I said, in seven against the Pelicans. The Warriors in, I want to say, five against the Spurs.
It's the same exact picks other than I had the Pels in seven.
Okay.
Like, same in games and everything.
same games and everything?
Yeah, same amount.
Okay, Charlie, maybe we're on the same thing. Raptors in six. Is that the same?
Yep.
Oh, no. I say the Cavs in five.
Yep.
We totally didn't mean to do this. Okay. 76ers sweep the Heat.
I had them in six.
All right. I think 76ers sweep the Heat. And I had Boston winning. I had Boston winning in seven.
Yep.
I want to see seven game series this time around. Mm-hmm. So that gives me Rockets versus the Thunder. I think the Rockets take that one. I think the Rockets take it in six. Do we have the same?
It's Rockets in seven.
Okay. I think the Rockets take it in six. Then I have the Trailblazers versus the Warriors. That's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
When you have the Trailblazers versus the Warriors, it's like, okay, anything's possible because the Warriors, Steph Curry's not all the way healthy at that point.
Right.
So it's kind of like Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, what can they do?
And the Blazers are another good three-point team, which is the Warriors, you know, what they do well. So
it'd be interesting to see, but I have the Warriors taking that one. I have them in six. So that gives let's go to the East. Raptors versus Cavs. I'm going to bring the Cavs to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Ooh.
Cavs in six. And that gives me 76ers versus Boston. 76ers take that one. So I guess I'm on the 76ers
They're
really
easy
good. They have an easy path.
Championship.
Right. They have an easy path. So 76ers over Boston. I think that one's in, I want to say five.
Ooh.
I want to say five.
Okay.
So that in the West, Houston versus Golden State. Houston wins.
Mm.
Houston wins.
Spicy takes.
Houston wins in seven. Then we go
76ers
versus the Cavs. And this one's difficult because LeBron. Or do I go
but
the
Embiid.
Red Hot 76ers? What do I do?
It would be the King versus the Prince part two.
It would be. I'm going to go the King. I actually don't feel good about that.
You're right.
But I don't feel good about picking the 76ers, to be honest, to go to the finals.
Who?
I don't really feel good about
that. The West is a lot tougher than the East.
Right. I don't feel good about that. I don't feel good about either of the Cavs or the 76ers, like, going to the finals and really doing damage in the finals.
So you have whoever from the West.
So I'll have the Cavs because I feel better than the 76ers bringing them there. So Houston versus Cavs, I think Houston takes it.
Wow.
Yep.
So, a spicy take indeed.
I think we all have different. Do we all have different champions?
Yeah, I have the 76ers. He's got
the
Warriors.
I have the Houston. I know it's the Chris Paul and James Harden, and they choke. And
if anyone's going to beat the Warriors in the West this year, I feel like it's going to be Houston. To end their reign of terror. Same thing with in the East. If anyone's going to stop the Cavaliers from going to the finals for, you know, the fourth straight time, it's going to be the 76ers.
You all underestimate the Thunder.
I said earlier that I would want to see like a Rockets versus Raptors finals just because it's so different that it's like, whoa, what is happening?
I mean, I would love to see, honestly, the Thunder beat the Rockets and get into a matchup. Westbrook versus Kevin Durant, Western Conference
Finals.
Man, that
needs to happen, man.
Would be such a treat. Would be such a treat.
What's your, like, maybe these are our dream finals, but what's, like, your dream finals?
Oh, Pelicans. I say Pelicans 76ers is the dream, and then, you know, Pelicans win, obviously. Right. But...
Charlie, do you have one?
Yeah,
is that
the same?
That's
my dream.
My
dream is the Pelicans somehow getting, like, super hot and just, you know, beating if somehow Popovich and the Spurs somehow, by some ungodly way, they beat the Warriors in the first round. The Warriors aren't playing well. Keep in mind,
no.
It's not going to happen, but if that somehow happens and the path opens up for the Pelicans to get to the Western Conference Finals, and then OKC upsets you know, Houston, and the stars align for the Pelicans because they beat OKC 2 out of 3 times,
man.
And they somehow get to the finals against the 76ers of all teams.
We would have real tears on the
show. I would be
tears.
Real, but good things have been happening, like we said.
That's a dream.
It's a dream since
we've done
bounce back week.
The sports show.
Yeah.
Good things have been happening. All right. So in our final 2 minutes here, any upsets? We love upsets.
Oh, yeah.
People love upsets. Any upsets in the first round?
I have the Rockets losing first round, I think, to the Timberwolves. I think that's very doable.
Any other upsets?
The Pels are technically an upset pick.
That would be an upset pick.
Yes, I have the Pels. But I do think that with Jimmy Butler, Minnesota can make a run at you know, Houston. But I think one of the clear upset picks for me is the Pelicans. Another one that I was looking at, but I couldn't really pick, was the Wizards potentially beating the Raptors because they really don't play well in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I just went with Toronto because they've had a really good season.
And the Wizards are kind of good in the playoffs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, they're kind of coming back together. They haven't played well recently, but you know, they have Wall back. He's always a really solid player.
And
so.
Boston beating Milwaukee feels like an upset.
It
kind
really
of
does.
The seeds don't tell you that, but looking at the teams, it feels like if you pick Boston, that's the upset pick.
Brad Stevens is a great coach with what he's doing with that team.
Right, and I trust Brad Stevens to coach his way out of the first round.
Next year is Boston's year. Healthy Gordon Hayward and healthy Kyrie Irving. I think it's their year next year.
All right, so our champ, man, we all have different champions. Every bracket we do, we'll just have different champions.
That's how it needs to be. Yeah.
That's how it needs to be. So I have the Rockets winning.
I have
the
76ers.
Man, I'm going to write this in my notes so we can refer back to
it. I'll take a picture of these brackets and send it to you.
And then,
I
Charlie,
have Golden State.
You have Golden State. Not the prettiest pick, but the one that...
One of the
safer
likely picks, yeah.
Because, you know, and my Rockets and Cavs, I don't know if I really feel good about that.
Right. But
anything,
do you ever feel good about brackets?
I don't feel good about anything. Ever.
No.
I got a feeling that this year is going to be wild, especially in the West. I feel like there's a lot of people are expecting it to be Houston and Golden State, but there may be upsets that pop up in there. Yeah. And it might not be so chalk like people are thinking.
Are you guys excited?
I'm
love
so
it.
Excited.
You guys favorite excited,
time.
Man?
Woohoo!
Saturday and Sunday, man. The first slate of games happen, and it's going to be beautiful. Man, I'm excited. And that will do it for myself, Justin, and Charlie this week. Thank you for talking sports with me, as always, guys.
Always.
Even though we might be a little tired after the Pelicans game.
I'm feeling good.
Last night. We're feeling good. It's exciting times for the Vermillion Sports Show. If you missed any part of the show, you can listen to it online at krbs.org. You can hear us talk sports every Friday at midnight. Programming on KRBS comes to you each week through the generous support of listeners like you and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. And as always, thank you for listening.